be on the program this morning. Yes, it's a little warmer here than it is there, but I think we're due for a little another cold snap. But I was just thinking when you said that wind chill of minus seven or minus seven.
Seven.
Just seven.
Yeah, probably not a good morning to be in a duck blind somewhere.
No, definitely not.
Well, you know, the thing is whenever you're sitting out in a duck blind anyway, it's questionable whether or not you're exercising good judgment.
Yeah, because you're killing innocent little animals.
No.
I knew you were going to say that. I almost didn't bring the duck blind issue up, but I thought, well, I'll throw it out there.
My poor dad had to hear that all the time from me, too. He was a hunter.
Okay, Randy, looks like we might be getting the dairy provision resolved in the farm bill. And it's possible we may have a vote this week. What are the parameters that it looks like if that happens? What are the parameters of, you know, the dairy and, you know, SNAP and what's the balance there?
Yeah, well, I got a call from Chairman Lucas last night and said that, you know, that over the weekend that we were able to work out some additional details. And so we'll see probably sometime. I'm headed, as soon as I finish this program this morning, headed to get a briefing from our staff and on the information they were furnished yesterday, and then hopefully we'll see some text. But what it's looking like right now is that in the staff program, there'll be somewhere around $8 billion in reform to that, which will include a $20 LIHEAP check, so states would have to issue at least a $20 LIHEAP payment before that would kick in additional SNAP benefits. The other thing, too, would be to start a 10-state pilot program for work requirements. And this is kind of similar to the Sutherland Amendment, which is the congressman from Florida. He offered an amendment for able-bodied adults to be looking for work if they're going to be on SNAP. Some of the commodity program was worked out. We're still waiting to see the details on that. There's about two or three issues that are still outstanding. One of those is country of origin labeling, and then one of them is an amendment that Steve King from Iowa offered, which would not allow California to ban different types of poultry coming into their state if they meet federal inspection. So the plan is that possibly Wednesday morning or Wednesday, sometime Wednesday, we would vote on a farm bill, and hope that's the case.
Yeah, that would most definitely be something that has been long awaited. Now, what are the possibilities of rather than, and when we're talking about a farm bill here, we're not talking about another short extension. We're talking about the full meal deal, right?
We're talking about the full meal deal. This is a five-year bill. This is what we've all been working for because, you know, this doesn't make sense to keep stringing farmers and ranchers out, you know, with these extensions. You know, agriculture is big business. You know, they have to go to their banks and make equipment loans or operating loans, and the bankers need to know what the policy is going to be. And the other thing that this farm bill is going to do is going to make crop insurance a much better product for our producers. And that's one of the things that I'm very most proud of because, you know, a part of the my crop insurance bill will be included in this farm bill. And so, you know, it's not a perfect farm bill. I wish there were more reforms in it. But this is a bill that does actually have reforms in it and will save the taxpayers some money over the next 10 years.
Good. Hey, Randy, we're going to take a break. Appreciate it if you'd hang with us right now, 7:42. Good morning. 7:47, good morning. Collins and Mack on Lubbock's First News. Congressman Randy Neugebauer on the telephone with us live from our nation's capital. Welcome back to the program. Appreciate that. Hey, Randy, I'm just, you know, kind of wondering what you're thinking that the spotlight of State of the Union is going to be. No doubt the economy, eh?
Well, absolutely. We hope that the president wants to talk about the economy. You know, I think one of the things that everybody's anticipating is the president last week said, you know, he has a pen,
and he knows how to use it. Yeah, I get it.
And he knows how to use it. And so I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is the president's going to come over and lay out his agenda, and I would hope that he would reach out and say, you know what, let's find some of these things like immigration or jobs, education. Let's find some of those things to work together. But I think to set the tone is that, you know what, I'm going to come over here, lay out my agenda, and if y'all don't like it, I've got a pen and I'm going to use it. I don't think that sets a tone, you know, to get much, cooperation.
So, I get that, too. And the thing that was disturbing to me is, you know, Jay Carney's mouth is getting a little bit bolder, you know, in his interviews and, you know, saying the president is disappointed. But, you know, basically his message was, with or without Congress, we're going to do it. That's Jay Carney's message.
Yeah, and I think the president is, one thing he's trying to do here is, when you look at his leadership approval rating right now, it's the lowest it's ever been. And so I think what the president's trying to do in some way here is to show that he's a leader. Well, being dictatorial is not necessarily a leadership skill. And I think one of the things that the president needs to do, if he wants to, you know, have a legacy of getting things done that's good for the country, you know, then I think that he's going to have to change his tone and his tactics a little bit. But I think telling Congress that, you know, like it or not, you know, this is the way we're going to do it, I don't think so. A particularly positive thing.
You know, really, I kind of feel like there's some sort of alternative strategy here, and it's kind of outside of the normal sphere of thinking, because just in the last couple of days, the president said that he can't get his agenda posted to the Republican side of Congress because of Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. So how do you take that?
Well, last I checked, neither one of those were elected in Congress. I mean, the people he ought to be talking to and worrying about and reaching out to are Congress. The Republicans have done that on a number of occasions, tried to reach out to the president, but it always seems like it's his way or the highway, and I think that's frustrating. You know, I think one of the things that we hope that the president would be addressing tomorrow night is the fact that even though the unemployment rate's down, the number of people working in this country is at one of the lowest periods it's been in decades, and that we need to be doing things that create jobs. We discussed the Section 179 depreciation, reforming the tax code, getting the government regulation off the backs of businesses. Those are the kinds of things that we would hope that the president would, you know, want to invest in.
Yeah. I get that. Hey, good morning. It's 7:50. Let's go to the phone, 770-5790. Kelly, you're on.
Good morning, Congressman Nagebauer, and we appreciate everything that you're doing to fight Barack Obama while you're there in Washington, D.C. I have a question about a bill that you co-sponsored back in 2009, the birth certificate bill, and just wanted to know your opinion about that. I know that it died in the 111th Congress, but I would also like to know why, when you all were asked to provide birth certificates yourselves, that you were the only one reluctant to do that.
Well, I don't know if anybody ever asked me specifically to provide my birth certificate, but I did co-sponsor that piece of legislation. It was a very simple piece of legislation to help, you know, put to rest this issue, and that was that each presidential candidate would provide evidence that would, you know, certify that they are, eligible under the Constitution to be, president of the United States. Unfortunately, that bill didn't pass, obviously, with the Democratic-led Senate, but, I thought it was a common-sense bill.
So even though the news publication Politico asked all of the co-sponsors to provide their birth certificates, and they all did, excluding yourself, would you be willing to present your birth certificate to the constituents of the 19th District?
Absolutely. I mean, I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and have a birth certificate, but I don't recall somebody asking me for one. It would be certainly something we would furnish.
Okay, yeah, no, that'd be great, and I appreciate that. I'm asking you formally right now in front of everybody that's listening, so if you wouldn't mind popping that up on your website, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate that. It's 7:52. We'll go to the break, and we will get back with Congressman Randy Nagebauer in just a moment. Monday, back in the saddle with you. Congressman Randy Nagebauer is online. Welcome back to the program, sir, live from our nation's capital on the eve of the State of the Union Address. We are also looking at some new legislation. Tell us about H.R. 7.
Yeah, H.R. 7 is the No Taxpayer for Abortion Act. And basically, this codifies what we have done by amendment process through the years of making sure that in the appropriation bills and other programs that no taxpayer money is ever used to provide for the payment for an abortion. And so last week, you know, there was a March for Life on the mall here, and Majority Leader Cantor announced that Wednesday that we would, I think either maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, that we would take up H.R. 7, which I'm an original co-sponsor of, that basically just says, you know, no taxpayer money will ever be used for abortions. I think that's important because one of the things that we've been very concerned about is, you know, particularly with Obamacare, there's not supposed to be any provision in the Obamacare for taxpayers' funds be used for abortions, but it's not been very transparent. And in fact, we voted on a bill earlier that would provide transparency so that persons purchasing a insurance, health insurance policy would know whether you know, abortion coverage is included in that. So basically, we're just trying to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future. And so I'm looking forward to voting for that H.R. 7.
There are a couple of exceptions, though, aren't there, to that?
Well, the basically, it just says that it will not provide for, you know, any subsidies or that the taxpayer money will not be used, you know, for abortions.
But I thought there was a, isn't there a provision in there if the mother's life is in danger or in the case of rape or incest?
You know, I don't know. I am the language will be filed and I think has been filed. I need to, you know, double check that more, but I don't recall that being a provision in it, but it very well may be.
A couple of bills involving some energy. Issues also coming up, the Electricity Security and Affordability Act and the Better Buildings Act, all being...
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the things that we, when we start talking about jobs, you know, one of the things that we have to do in our country is we have to make sure that we're energy independent in the future. And we're moving in that direction. And so one of the things, for example, the Keystone Pipeline, I'm hoping that tomorrow night the president will talk about, you know, his view on that. And, you know, we're also fracking. One of the things we've seen this administration has been doing is, you know, looking at ways to inhibit our ability to do fracking with some silly science. And
Congressman,
so all of these bills are important.
Congressman Nagebauer, we're just about out of time. Thanks.